Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the investor call of Cigniti Technologies Limited to discuss the Q4 and FY 2021 results. Today we have with us from the management, Mr. Srikanth Chakilam, Chief Executive Officer and Non-Executive Director, and Mr. Krishnan Venkatacharya, Chief Financial Officer. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Zinaida Albuquerque from Adfactors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Rutuja. Very good evening to everyone. Before the call, we would like to point out that certain statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. The investor call contains forward-looking statements based on the currently held beliefs and assumptions of the management of the company, which are expressed in good faith and, in their opinion, reasonable. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, financial condition, performance, or achievements of the company or industry results to differ materially from the results, financial condition, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties related to these statements include, but are not limited to, risks and risks of expansion plans, benefits from fluctuations in our earnings, our ability to manage growth and implement strategies, competition in our business, including those factors which may affect our cost advantage, wage increases in India, our ability to attract and retain highly skilled professionals, and our ability to win new contracts, changes in technology, availability of financing, our ability to successfully compete and integrate our expansion plans, liabilities, political instability, and general economic conditions affecting our industry. Unless otherwise indicated, the information contained herein is preliminary, indicative, and is based on the management information, current plans, and estimates. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srikanth Chakilam for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zinaida. Good evening, everyone. Apologies for the delay. We had a technical challenge. But thank you. Welcome to the earnings call of Q4. And I hope all of you are keeping well and staying safe while the COVID pandemic is at its peak in India. So let me start with some highlights for the quarter. So this quarter, we closed 22 new logos, and we've been able to commence the start for some of these logos in February and March, while some have spilled over into April and May. Breakup of these logos in terms of verticals include healthcare, pharma, BFSI, technology, consumer goods, and ISVs, and a few government entities as well. And 50% of these logos come from the North American region, while the remaining 50% comes from areas outside of North America, such as U.K., Australia, and Middle East. As you may be following some of the developments, most of the U.S. is on an accelerated path towards normalcy due to the aggressive vaccination program. And we hope that this becomes a trend in other regions as well. And in terms of revenues, we clocked about 233 crores INR, which is close to 5% uptick from the previous quarter. And the EBITDA is about 14.3%, which is at the same level as the previous quarter. For the overall year, we have been able to significantly claw back to where we are today, considering our tremendous exposure to travel and hospitality at 27% last year. And the current mix is, I would say, a healthy balance between BFSI, retail, technology, and healthcare being the core verticals, as opposed to a big skew towards travel, transport, and hospitality last year. Travel, transport, and hospitality, at least in our experience, is still yet to come back to normalcy in terms of IT budgets and spending. We've seen a few positive trends here and there, but in the larger scheme of things, it is still I think still has a lot of room to come back to normalcy. And we have proactively used last year's situation to invest into future growth in areas outside of quality engineering, like I mentioned in the last earnings call. And we started to see a few green shoots in the areas of RPA and 5G experience. We've also identified a few other areas closer to testing. So, but our core competency still continues to be quality engineering. And within the quality engineering space, 46% accounts to test automation. And in the overall scheme of things, less than 10% of the revenues come from areas outside of quality engineering. And to this effect, we have made structural changes to be more focused on growth. I mentioned last time that we had a new hire, new chief revenue officer, Mr. Ganesh Ramamurthy. And in that context, we made a few structural changes and, and we are positive that these changes and investments will certainly be favorable outcomes in the months and years to come. We will continue to invest this year as well to ensure stability and build momentum for the upcoming years. And coming to some key focus areas at this point, attrition is an area we are closely monitoring, and we are seeing that this is an industry-wide trend that we are witnessing. And we are keeping a close tab to ensure that talent retention, talent acquisition, learning and development, growth opportunities, and increments to be on the right track for the execution of our plans. Also, in the current times, some of our employees have been affected by the pandemic, and we are on top of the situation to ensure the well-being of our employees and also ensure zero impact for our clients. So, proactive communication with both stakeholders internally and the external community is a process we have adopted in these times to ensure zero impact. And lastly, a key development, as some of you may have noticed, is with regards to dividend. Our board of directors has recommended a final dividend of Rs. 2.5 per share of Rs. 10, subject to approval of the shareholders of the company and also framed the dividend policy to this effect. So with this, I hand over the stage to Krishnan, CFO, and post which we are open to Q&A. Krishnan?
Thank you, Srikanth. Gentlemen, a warm welcome to all of you. Good afternoon and good evening to each one of you, and wishing you safe wherever you are. It's been a challenging year. We started with a scare and probably ending with a scare in some part of the world very clearly due to the global pandemic. We did definitely, as Srikanth mentioned, take a hit in terms of the travel and hospitality, but however, we have put up the challenge very clearly and we have neutralized the revenue comparing to what it was last year. In terms of dollar terms, from 123 million, we have made about 122 million this year, which is marginally about a percentage or two low, but on the rupee terms, probably we have scored marginally higher for the year. The quarter has seen a healthy trend in terms of a 5% uptick in terms of a sequential to December, and we have finished with a healthy run rate of about 12 million in March, with a good order book position of about 130 million to take us to a exponential growth in the coming years. While it stands, probably we did a very elaborate estimate and did a revised re-estimate during the mid of the year to reach about 118 million with about 15% EBITDA. I think we have ended the year with about 122 million with about 16.4% EBITDA, which is commendable and achievable. And with a factor that we have reinvested back into the business in terms of trying to do what best can be done in terms of for the future of the business. The next year also looks promising. We have also priced in very clearly in terms of employee retention program by way of appraisals, and also to move ahead and do an investment in sales and marketing. While during the year, the investments have taken place in terms of by appointment of the CRO, but we have also moved in and hired a partnership head from a leading company in terms of trying to push through the high level of partnership, which is next to the CRO level, and also done a couple of marketing initiatives which is by nature to move up. Net comparing to previous year, we have done exceptionally well, and our profit after tax would have moved up by a couple of in reality is up by about 2.5% or 250 basis points. The reason is that if I have to neutralize the software export incentive, which has been claimed in the last year about 11.5 crores, and to the tune of other income and exchange, whatever it is netted off, so probably I would have been net grown very clearly in a year of pandemic. In terms of the numbers, where it stands, top 20 continue to be healthy and 49%. There have been in the, during the quarter, which is about 22 customers, and especially during the year, the last 9 months win have come to us at a great margin, and I've been able to push through the market rate from 71.5 to about close to $74, with a gross margin of about 44% in the overall scheme of things, which is a visibility where all these projects will kick in the coming year in a full-blown proposition way very clearly. And while the top 20 contributing 49% and the rest contributing about 41%, I think the offshore and on-site revenue holds back at about 47 to 53 with the employee counts in terms of the resource mix holding back at about 30-70, which is 30 on-site and 70 offshore. We have successfully waited on a couple of things. We did do a 5% wage cut in the first 6 months to all the employees, and the employees cooperated, and we are very thankful to them. And we put that back on October 1st, and now we are trying to go back to the appraisal mode also as well now. And while doing that, we have been very, very careful except for contract employees, which has necessitated to get separated post the reduction of project. We have not really done any kind of a retrenchment for our size of the company. And we have withstood, and we have moved ahead and managed. We have been able to bring a lot of new verticals in terms of the business. The new business in terms of the current year as a composition probably contributed about 6% of the total billing. And about close to 70% of the business has come through automatic renewals, and the rest we have done through an external mining. And the last wins, especially in the last quarter, has been as all have been a multi-million dollar account, and ranging from 18 to 24 months and 36 months. We see an increasing trend in terms of such wins coming through on account of our transformational initiatives, what we are trying to do. We have net on the cost front, we have tried to retain the cost reasonably well, and while we are monitoring, the hedging is a policy in terms of the natural hedge coming through. I think we have not yet taken a specific hedging cover very clearly, because we know that at this point of time it's not that economical to really move for the hedging clearly. And the heartening part is that as against comparison to last year, we have generated about 145 crores of cash from the operations, and the net balance of the cash and cash equivalents as displayed to the investors, we stand at about 192 crores, and which will be used for expansion, and both organic and inorganic in the year to come, in a spare the growth very clearly. Overall, I think we have a very strengthened balance sheet with a debt-free and cash available in at free, and then we also have a good order book position, and we have the teams in place. We are taking a transformation journey in terms of moving it for us to be at a pace which is quite accelerated, and we are very excited to be part of it. And above all, I think what is not a norm in terms of what is required to a top 500 companies, but I think as a part of corporate governance, we have come ahead and declared a dividend policy, which has been posted on the website and filed in the exchanges, is that we'll be declaring about 25% to 35% of the payout, which is distributable profit, on a year-on-year basis to the investors by way of dividend as a policy, which we have subject to the caveat where the board can review the situations in terms of the economic impact or whatever it is. And to commence with that, probably, yes, as the first step in a maiden dividend, after all the eligibilities have been recommended and subject to shareholders' approval. With this, I think we are marching ahead in terms of good territory to move ahead for a positive growth. And I thank Shrikant and everyone else, and I open the forum for question and answers now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hasmukh Gala from Finvest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to the Cognity Management Group for delivering decent results, although not to the expectation. But looking to the current COVID situation in which we are, I think that probably, as you rightly said, that, you know, the travel, tourism, etc., has done well, and you have tried to recover it through some other verticals. So in this connection, I would just like to draw your attention to the slide number 9 of your presentation, where you have given the revenue percentage breakup between different verticals. But I just find that the percentages given do not appear to be of 2021. They are the same as given in our annual report of 1920. So maybe if there is any correction to be made, you can just send a new presentation. Because that will help us to know. Hello?
No. I take your point, sir. I just definitely.
Yeah, that slide number 9. You know, I was just wondering because those percentages are exactly the same as in 1920 annual report. So probably, you know, the person would not have been able to. You know, we just basically wanted to know that now, you know, in these challenging times as you go ahead, and as you said that you have got a very pending order book position. So how do you see now a quarter over quarter run rate of revenue growth setting in FY22?
Definitely, sir. I think point well taken, definitely, and we will correct that. We apologize for the error. Probably the Q4 revenue by vertical will by any means give you an indication very clearly that the BFSI
Q4 you have given correctly. And then I compared with Q3 also, but I thought that, you know, overall for the year, if we know, because this Q4 will indicate what is the indication.
Absolutely. That is the run rate moving forward. We will remain because that is on the we see the bulk of the contracts coming through in a big way, and that is where I see retail and commerce and the healthcare picking up and supplementing for the travel, which is dropped down from the 27% to 14% or so. I take your point, and then we'll correct that and update and also mail it to you all. Definitely.
That's fine. What kind of quarterly revenue run rate growth do we expect now?
Sir, in terms of if you look at it for the quarterly run rate, I think it seems very, very, very healthy. And we are looking at a buoyant growth for the coming quarters very clearly and the next year's plan. And we have a plan very clearly where we definitely will be coming out to the market and talking out sometimes soon that. We have done this plan out over 4 years to get to a half a million journey. So keeping that in mind, I think we have, although we don't give any guidance or as a practice, but I think we have a good amount of order book position to really take us to a more than double-digit growth kind of a thing.
Okay, very good. So it will not be just restricted to single 2-4% type.
Yeah, absolutely. You can be rest assured because that is what we are trying to look at overall for the year to year. I'm not trying to be very specific about a quarter, but I think overall for the year it will be a more than double digit.
Okay, very good. Sir, what is the size of the pending order as on 31st March?
My order book question to be executed for April to March is about close to 133 million. And
133 million. Achha, 133 million. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, sir, and, you know. Yeah.
On the new wins which has been signed, which is executable over a period of 12 to 14 months or whatever we have signed, is about close to 1.5 million in the month of April. Yeah.
Okay. So another question is, you know, you said that, you know, you are getting into the newer areas, newer verticals, and new partnerships, etc., and you continue to invest in developing the new tools, etc. So what kind of investment you will be making, although you don't capitalize any, most of it is written off, but just to understand the revenue implication What kind of investment do you make in all these initiatives?
Okay, that's a great question. We don't capitalize. To be very clear, I'm reiterating back your statement is that we don't capitalize anything in terms of the investments what we make. Either it's going to be rolled out in a semi-product or it's going to be rolled out as a tool to be deployed as a block in any kind of a service what we're going to offer it, which can get capitalized, which can get monetized by way of the billable rates when it comes to the serviceability very clearly. If you look at it, probably the investment in terms of I would probably quantify it in terms of the investment what we are trying to look at it about. It could be anywhere in the region of about close to 4-5% of the total revenue what we are trying to look at, staggered over the phases, because already some investments are moved in, and then what we have estimated will be about 4-5% of the total revenue. And that also comes in phases, because as we start investing, we will be doing the checks and balances, and there will be a cycle in terms of a roadmap as to right from investment till the marketing material to the campaigning and to the customer, and where we come back. And we are applying all these offerings into the existing set of customers who are about close to 70-80 customers in a very big way, and who are global corporations, and where we have the depth and IT budgets to really extract and provide our offerings as a one-stop solution. So I think that should be quite easy, and we are trying to target it about close to 4-5% for the immediate next year. But I think we have a long-run plan very clearly drawn up over the next 5 years in terms of as we start earning money, how much as a percentage will we start investing into the thing, how we're looking at both the top line and bottom line growth together.
Sir, another statistics which you gave in the beginning, I could not hear properly. Like, what will be your revenue coming from the offshore, and how much will be coming from on-site in terms of percentage?
Yeah, so my revenue which is coming through from the offsite offshore is about close to 47%. 53% is coming from onsite. In terms of the resource deployment, it is 30% for the onsite and 70% for the offshore.
Okay, 34% is onsite.
Yeah, 30% 30 and 70.
Achha, 30% is onsite and 70 is offshore.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, sir, do you see this revenue composition mix changing, that you can derive some more revenue from offshore?
We can, but I think if you look at it on the newer technologies, we are on a very, I would say, at least for a year, we are on an optimized level very clearly, because though the pandemic has helped us to really consolidate and move up from 43-44 to 47%, I strongly feel that it will remain at these levels for one reason, basically. It could be a 1 or 2% move up. But the only possibility, the reason is that with the newer offerings and newer projects, near to customer explanation, near shore, which is very, very important basically, because whether it is system study, whether it is implementation or gathering of data and doing understanding with the manager or whatever it is, so newer technologies, especially with respect to the DevOps or whatever it is, will run through invariably with being in the on-site. So, it's a chicken and egg story very clearly, that while we try to balance in terms of offshore, but I think the wishful thinking where we will go over a 3 year time clearly could be that yes, as a set method we will move to 55-45 in favoring offshore, but I think comparing to any of the mid-cap industries, probably we are on IT side, we are more or less reasonable, and we are at par with the peers. So
Correct.
That's
so, I think your billing contract may be on per hour basis, or is it
our billing? Absolutely, by time and material.
Okay, it is a time and material.
Yeah.
Okay. So now another question is, what will be the margin driver? Now, you know, we have earned about 16% margin in FY21, not considering the other income.
Yes.
Yeah, so what will be now the margin driver, sir?
Absolutely. That's a good question, sir. I think we still have a lot of work to do in the pyramid mix, which is back home what we are trying to do on the pyramid mix. And if you look at it, over the last, my average rates have been at about close to $71 in the on-site and $21 in offshore. But I think over the last quarter, if you look at it, my based on the new range, based on the offerings what we're trying to do, it has moved up to about close to 74 as a available thing. Why this is possible, basically, in terms of the the digital transformation and other newer technologies, what I'm trying to get in. And with more and more our offering-led services coming through, I think that will contribute a sizable in terms of the increasing my EBITDA in terms of the margin. And back home, as you rightly said, 1 or 2% skewing in terms of coming through to will help me out. And a resource mix and a pyramid mix, which I'm trying to do internally out here. And with pandemic, yes, I agree that there is a lot of amount of cost optimization which we are trying to do. Fortunately, we may not need to invest completely into, with the expansion, we don't need to invest into the facilities. And we are also optimizing on the existing facilities. That will also bring in some amount of variation. But I think we also have to keep in mind the customer touch point, which we are trying to do as the regions are picking up clearly. So these are the few areas very clearly. And if you look at it, because of the offerings, I'm able to demand a slightly premium rates with the existing customers. And I'm trying to convert and get businesses in terms of managing the QA as a whole and soul, probably. I'm able to optimize and do a mix and match, and that will also contribute for me, basically.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Harsumkala to please rejoin the queue as we have participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyu Chadha from Serendip. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. In a couple of calls before, you've described that, you know, you're beginning on a journey to move away from being a pure testing company into having a broader footprint that encompasses both user requirement generation, actual usability, user acceptance, a series of digital initiatives, etc. Supposing we were to look at revenue this year and next year, how much would these new initiatives sort of bring in?
Shikant, can I go ahead and take it up?
Okay, yeah, please go.
Yeah. Yes, we have commenced the journey, and it's a cycle and a process by itself, basically, where whether the fulfillment is 100% or 90% or 70%. So probably I would say that with about 60-70% what we have completed, I think in the current year, in terms of the newer footprints, which has contributed about close to 5-6% of the total revenue in terms of the transformation. However, the whole digital initiative has contributed about close to 36%. But I think these newer initiatives which we are trying to look at are contributed about close to 5-6%. We are targeting about close to 16% will come in the next year in our estimated thing on this. However, the whole digital transformation and the digital and the newer age technologies will contribute about close to 40-42% is what is the estimate.
Great, thanks a lot. One other tag-along question. In terms of the, I mean, our basic approach now, would it be to gather more logos or to demine the existing logos deeper? Which of the
existing
dominant sort of strategy for this year?
Yeah, I would ask Shikha to elaborate. But,
So, as such, opening new logos is not a challenge for us. So, our focus now is to expand within the logos that we've already opened and get more out of these logos than opening more logos.
So would it be fair to track your revenue from, say, the top 50 or 100 customers as a core effective way of achieving that? I mean, our effectiveness in achieving that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Top 75. Yeah.
Top 75? Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavis Mehta from Roots Inventors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had a few questions around the entire business. My first question is, given it's one of the niche businesses primarily listed and a lot of IP beyond services as well. So I wanted to understand what part of the revenue can you attribute it towards your platform-based testing systems, or is there a way to segregate them, or they are totally embedded? And is it possible to throw some more light on the entire capability in the investor presentations as well? Because currently, looking at the presentation, it looks like a very generic kind of a product. But when someone looks at your website and your various products within Blue Swan, there's much more to it. So that was my brief feedback.
Yeah, she can please go ahead.
The voice is slightly muffled, apologies. So, but what I understood is, can you throw some more light in terms of how much IP is IP and platform is contributing to the revenue? Is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
Okay. So, so I think every project that we have taken up, there is some level of IP and platform involved. They are not two separate entities at this point in time. We don't have product revenues as such. So whatever IP and platform is the revenue involved is a combined sort of a thing. And we at this point are not segregating or tracking it that way, but at this point, largely all the projects that we are doing have some component of the IT and platform that is involved. And to the second question, we will certainly track in terms of add in more in terms of the capabilities in the investor deck. So we have, of course, our R&D team and innovation team continuously enhances the platform, so we can definitely add more capabilities that reflect in the deck.
Sure. Yeah, and second question is around, so out of the annual revenue, what could be derived from it? That is it a recurring revenue based on long-term contracts, or how does the entire billing work?
I'll take that. I do not understand the...
He's asking about the type of revenue in terms of the how much of the contracts are recurring and how much is getting into the type of
one time.
Let me put it this way, gentlemen, is that as I told you that we have generated about out of the total revenue of about 122 million, 6% has come from the set of revenue which is based on the new accounts which has been won during the year and which are multi-year contracts. Basically, when I talk about multi-year contracts, these are multi-year contracts which are renewable. Normally, when you sign an MSA for 5 years, and 3 to 5 years is what the MSA is signed, and these contracts are signed between 12 to 18 months and renewable. If you look at during the year as a pattern, if you look at it, about close to 70% of the contracts have come through renewals very clearly. And we have done about 6% from the newer revenue and about 25% has come through mining very clearly. So out of the total account service, about close to, just to give an idea, about 210 accounts would have been serviced. I think we have about close to 140 accounts, which are legacy accounts, 140, 150 accounts, to be very precise. And that shows very clearly that we have a time and material and a renewable business, which is coming through very clearly as a breakup. Trust this answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. And last question. So given the current situation, the EBITDA margin generally has been higher for most of the companies. So do you think this is sustainable going in the future based on a growth part? And to add to that is that we have a reasonable amount of cash on our balance sheet. So have we evaluated any growth acquisition opportunities in subdomains which we would want to strengthen our capabilities in?
For the second question, probably, yes, it's a continuous process and it is in the radar of the board and the management CEO and the chairman very clearly that it's a continuous process. And we will definitely come back uniformly to the investors and to the market as and when we get close to it. But I think we are on the affirmative and it is a continuous process very clearly. We are not against it or whatever it is. It's part of the business and for a size. The first question in terms of sustainability of the EBITDA, I think if you look at it probably on a comparable basis to the EBITDA, I think our company slightly has to be compared comparing to what it was is that we have gone on a conservative estimate after reinvesting back into the business very clearly. So for us to sustain and growth potential is quite high comparatively. So we are very confident that 16.5% what we have delivered, 16% and then moving up to 16.5%, 17% and then structurally moving ahead and pushing a target over a period of 3 years to 20%. It's absolutely possible basically because of the kind of efforts and the kind of value services and the value chain what we are moving up. So we are very pretty confident on that, absolutely.
Sure. Thanks a lot and all the best for the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Basu from AmeriCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, Supratim. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Two or three different buckets of questions. Picking up from the previous analyst, this whole order book of $133 million that you talk about, right? Given that bulk of your business is really project revenues, how do you actually get to that number?
These are backed by contracts which have already been renewed and kept with us for availability between April and March, back to the sales force. So if you look at it, is that
this is an estimate which is funneled up by the sales force, is it?
The 133 million is if you look at in the overall scheme of things for 133 million, about close to probably our renewals always invariably we have seen that it happens in Jan, Feb, March predominantly, and we have very few happening in October, November, December. So easily that 20 million as well together, which is a routine revenue, so we have taken down the question very clearly. But just answer your question in terms of the project, even though these are long-term projects on a continual basis, which includes apart from it's a continuous testing which comes through clearly on a clear basis. So we know that these are contracts which gets renewed with the clients, like names you call it as Walmart or whatever it is. So we have a reasonable and fair estimate in terms of back with the documents and based on which we have done this.
So it is an estimate. That was my limited point, right? Because what is your average project duration currently?
Currently, our project durations have inched up on all the new wins to about 18 months, clearly, in terms of the initial SOW.
Listen, Krishan, that seems very long to me, right? Because if you are essentially doing testing and you are doing DevOps for new launches that are happening at the client side, now, if any customer actually has an 18-month long application development timeframe today, they are dead in the water. So my understanding is that today typical application development timeframes are 3 to 6 months, essentially there could be a mega project, but the mega project gets boiled down into small milestones, and each of those milestones is deliverable from the vendor side, whether that's application guy or whether it's a testing guy, and so on, right? So when 18-month time frame might be your overall general contract, but that can't be the average project duration.
No. When you look at it, over the last 6 months, what we have won are contracts from these existing SIs which have been moved out from these existing projects, because we have to view this into two parts. One is that you are absolutely right in terms of when I'm winning a DevOps project, when I'm doing various other projects, which will have a duration of about 6 months or so. But I think in this pandemic over the last 6 months, what we have won out very clearly is from the existing SIs in terms of existing projects which they have transferred out very clearly. And that is what I'm trying to tell you in terms of where we are.
Okay. So my next question is for Srikanth on a completely different tangent. I mean, we've been discussing your platform development and IP over the last 18 to 24 months. But the comment or the commentary that you made to an earlier question seems to suggest that the platform side of it is not really picked up. I mean, if you're still not able to say that, okay, this was automated delivery and this was product delivery, then that seems to be pretty slow from what had been originally discussed.
So, the platform development is an ongoing activity, and we have to ultimately make a decision if we want to spin it off and then, you know, count revenues as such. But at this point in time, we intend to use it as a differentiator to try and win business, but not necessarily slow in terms of the product enhancement.
Okay, let me put this, let me try to quantify this in another way. What percentage of your revenues actually are fixed deliverable project revenues?
The total fixed deliverables as against the agreement is only about 3% of the 0.2%.
So balance everything is T&M?
Yes.
So effectively, you're still very much a services company. That, you know, the movement towards becoming a more of a product-enabled or a platform-enabled company is still a work in progress.
Shikant, you would like to answer this? Sorry, I couldn't hear. You're saying that effectively we are a services company?
Yeah, so I was saying that, so today, effectively, you're still a services company, primarily a services company, and the move towards becoming a more platform-enabled or product-enabled company is still a work in progress.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, if you have to very objectively say, yes, the answer is yes.
Okay. Sorry, I lost my line of thought here. So, Krishan, if I can come back to you on the numbers side then. When I look at your FY21 margins versus FY20, I've not done a deep dive yet, but the margin improvement seems to be the differential of the currency. Otherwise, margins seem to be flat.
I think on a year, if you look at it in terms of...
Flat to down, actually, given the currency has actually done much more than your differential.
I would say that marginally remains flat or positive, but I think we have got our own, every industry had a challenge, and we have shared our challenges, basically, and you're right in a sense, but I think we have tried to remain floating around very clearly.
So are you saying that is there possibility for future productivity gains without taking the currency into effect for FY22?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that is what the entire think tank has thought about.
In FY22, FY21, was it that the first half COVID hit is what took overall margins down? Is that really the case?
There are two things to look at. One is that probably while doing the capability building, looking at the business when it is dropping out on the few sectoral areas very clearly, one, we have accommodated the bench, we have accommodated the set of people for the transformation very clearly to increase the opportunity. But if you look at in terms of the investments which is needed basically on this transformation journey, which includes both ways, trying to take the talent out from the market and also to build the capabilities or whatever it is on a quick basis to move on. I think both definitely is a whammy. And in spite of all that, if you look at it probably on a dollar-dollar basis, I have the numbers to talk about on a dollar-dollar basis. Still, I've increased by about 100 basis points comparing to what it was to the last year. And these are the two reasons very clearly, and this will get neutralized as I start moving up for the year when the volumes start picking up for me very clearly.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Basu. May I request you to please rejoin the
call? I'll come back.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Hasmukh Gala from Finvest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, please go ahead.
We are able to hear you.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yes, very much, sir. Good evening. You can hear
yeah.
me.
Okay. Good evening. Yeah, I just wanted to know, now, you know, talking about these different finer aspects will require a very deep discussion. On the management bandwidth, now, you know, you have hired chief revenue officer. Now, in presentation, you have talked about one Mr. Nag. And we also have Mr. Phanish Murthy doing a lot of work for us. So I just wanted to know, do you have in thinking that, you know, a person like Swanesh Murthy, if he's really in the executive role in our company, it will carry a lot of weight?
Yeah, Shikhan, please go ahead.
Pardon? So are you suggesting that you hire him full time?
Yeah, something like that in executive role. Right now, I think we are paying him some compensation for whatever work he's doing.
No, so he is very clear that he will continue at advisory and board level, and on the other side, I think there are a lot of talent available in the market as well in terms of who are hands on in terms of the IT world. So I think we are in the right track.
Yeah. To add up to the point, what Srikanth is telling, gentlemen, is that I take your point that people like Sandeep has to come in on a full time, but I think individual choice to be on a full time or not. But I think leaving the tagline, I think more than full time is worth contribution with the company trying to guide the both the team, guide the entire sales management to enable the sales and then really resolve and go into a transformation journey. So it is with these efforts very clearly and the management efforts, we have brought in a new set of leaders like partnership head, a CRO, and now a few more things around the offering very clearly. So it doesn't make a much difference basically to bring in a person because he is already in with us and he's trying to contribute very clearly. So,
correct.
I hope that answers your question.
Now, how are the roles, management roles are being defined, you know, between Ramamurthy, Mr. Nag, and what Mr. Murthy is doing, Panish? So how exactly is the differentiation takes place, you know?
It is, Shikhan, I take this question. Yeah, please go ahead. Please go ahead,
Shikhan. So Swanesh Murthy is on an advisory role. He helps enhance the processes and all that. While Chief Revenue Officer, myself, and others, we are on a executive role, on a daily, hands-on daily in terms of the operations and the execution part. So day in, day out, we handle different aspects related to revenue, sales, partnerships, delivery, innovation, and so on. While Mr. Swanesh Murthy's role is at a broad level, at a high level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does Mr. Sudhakar also contribute because he is still holding about 12% odd equity?
No, he's not associated with any.
He is not involved in the business anymore. Not at all. Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants are requested to please limit their questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Sidvati Basu from AmeriCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey. Thank you. The question that I wanted to ask Srikanth, the transformation of this business, the transformation of the company started in FY18 as you essentially got rid of all the staffing and low-value clients, low-value, less margin, zero margin, negative margin, all of that. So would you say at the end of FY21, this transformation is now complete, that there are no more client rationalization to be done?
I mean, complete, it's not black and white, I would say. See, the thing is, 2018 it started, but in the year of COVID, we obviously had certain plans around travel and hospitality, and we had different set of plans. And then in the year of COVID, all of it changed. So we also have to be dynamic in terms of adapting to those changes. But the transformation, I think, is in a great shape, I would say. We are progressing in the right direction.
Are you saying that during FY21, because of COVID, you essentially picked up a few, that is, you actually picked up staffing business during this period?
No, we did not. So the staffing part, we are, the revenues from pure staffing have come down quite significantly from where we started to where we are now. So if you are asking about that transformation, that is almost complete. I'm talking about the new areas that I picked up in the last two con calls, if you were there, talking about areas beyond quality engineering, and that is the work in progress that I'm talking about.
But that is a new initiative, right? It is we will wait to see that
staffing related thing. We are almost out of it in terms of staffing related part. We are significantly away from staffing at this point. Pure staffing, what I'm talking about that.
I think the point, Supratham, in terms of what Srikant said very clearly, I think let me address your point in terms of letting go clients in terms of acceptance or whatever it is. I think I agree on the total revenue in terms of staffing, which has been contributed in the overall 121.67 million or so, is about 3.2 million, which should fade away in the coming year, hopefully. But sometimes if the renewal takes place, we take it basically as a year of pandemic, which is still continuing to answer question. But I think in terms of the client rationalization, if you see, the total client service is about close to 210 or so, which is almost rationalized about 90%. I think the visual thinking could be is that to bring it down to about close to 180. Have we did that deliberately this year? Are we going to do it in the current year? I think we feel in this business, basically, there's no point in just throwing out now as it is in terms of these small businesses. And we need to leave because we have to float around this year, and now we're trying to take a call as we do a transformation journey. So I would call it and qualify it as about 90% completed, about 10% to be done yet. Is that a fair answer for you?
Okay, fantastic. No, that's very good, Krishna. Very helpful. And final question, you know, we know Panish is such a bear for front-end sales-driven organizations to bring in new clients to the door. Do you think that the process for creating your sales organization is now complete, that you have the sales organization that you want?
Yes, 100%.
Yes, it is complete, yes.
So we can see this being leveraged into revenues in the next year, FY22.
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Fantastic. And may I say that I really like your new website.
Thank you. I think more feedbacks are welcome. Absolutely. And please do connect.
Thank you for giving me so much time. Thank you. All the very best.
Always pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devan Karani from Karani Spices. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I would like to know, the free cash flow that we have generated in this year is about close to 145 crores.
Yeah, good evening. Yes, very much. Yeah, you're right, 145 crores.
Yeah, close to 145. And last year, we had cash and cash balances and bank balances to the tune of 87 crores. So if we add that 87 and 145, it sums up to about 232.
Okay.
Yeah. And what we're showing it in the balance sheet as something around 127, sir.
No, 192 crores, if you see, basically, because you have to take all, I have also provided in the presentation in terms of our all application. We have made it as bank FD. If you look at bank FD also, please look at bank FD and everything put together in the presentation. We have shown it about 192, 193 crores available.
The free cash flow is generally to be added to the last year's balances. Still, there is a difference of about 40 odd crores.
No, it can't be clearly because please look at the breakup in terms of bank FD investment and CCE put together. It's about 193 crores, and we have attached the cash flow also in the publication. I'll be more than happy to clarify each and every line item offline in terms of explaining doubts because these are audited numbers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. As this was the last question, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Srikant Chakilam for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for your time. I wish that all of you stay safe and be healthy in this current pandemic situation. I look forward for the next conference call in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Signity Technologies Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.